Had a big day right here, and it continues right now. We start hour number three by talking to an all-pro, a Pro Bowler, a 10-year NFL vet, led the NFL in interceptions in 2014, a two-time Good Guy Award winner with the Lions. He was the 112th pick in 2009 out of New Mexico. He announced his retirement yesterday. We are joined by Glover Quinn. Glover, it's good to have you back. How are you?
All right, man. How you doing?
Good, good. So you announced your retirement yesterday, as I mentioned, and from the outside, it sure seemed like you could have kept playing and been a really valuable part of the team. So what made you feel like now was a good time to retire?
I played 10, and that was the original goal for me, to play 10 and to be able to leave the game healthy. That's what I wanted to do. I got three young boys, and so I felt like if I could still play in the NFL, then I could definitely play with my kids and I could run around and I could be an integral part of their life. So when I walked off the field after that last game in Green Bay, I was healthy. I didn't need any surgeries. I actually wasn't even on the injury report the whole season. So I was feeling really good. So I knew it would take a great situation, you know, for me to even get back on the field. And, you know, that situation never came. And so I was like, hey, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm ready to move on.
Makes sense. Now, when you talk about the fact that you didn't need surgery, the fact is, it's not just 10 years of being in the league. It's not just 10 years of hanging on. You started every single game for the last 9 seasons. And at the end of last year, you had a great line. You said, quote, "My body loves me and I love it back," end of quote. As you know, availability is the best ability. So how did you go about preparing to make sure that your body was ready to go every single time? And how important was it then for you to have your teammates know that they could count on you to be out there every single week?
Well, training, you know, training was a huge part of it. Obviously, I was blessed by God to be healthy, to have the mentality that I had to work at it. But training, eating right, staying off the alcohol, stretching, massages, all those things. And, you know, it got to the point to where, like you said, I took pride in wanting my teammates to know that each and every Sunday that we strap it up, that I was going to be there. So sacrifices, discipline, all those things that, you know, it takes to obviously do this for a long period of time, I've done it. And, you know, it's very fulfilling to me to be able to look back and see that, man, out of 160 possible regular season games, I played in 159 of them, and I missed one, you know, my rookie year. So for me, that's what I wanted. I wanted to get their respect from my teammates, from my peers, and you know, it worked out perfect.
Glover Quinn is joining us. He just announced his retirement. One of the things you've also said is that, quote, "Football was never who I was as a person. It was always what I had done. I wanted to use football as a stepping stone into the rest of my life and not let football be my life," end quote. Now, to me, that's a really powerful statement because a lot of guys truly struggle with their identity after they leave the game. So what do you think your life's going to be like without football?
Man, you know, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, you know, without football. I do know I have a beautiful family. I got three amazing kids, a beautiful wife. Definitely want to give them a lot of time and attention and support in whatever they're doing. And for me, it's just I wanted to put myself in a position to be able to do the things that I passionately want to do when I was done playing, instead of things that I felt like I had to do. I feel like so many people leave the game and they're in, you know, all types of different situations. And they just kind of feel like, you know, I have to take this job or I have to, you know, take this or I have to do that. And, you know, me, I want to be in a position to be able to say, you know what, I don't really have to do anything. This is something that I want to do. This is something that I'm passionate about. This is something that fulfills, you know, a lot of things for me, for other people. And so that's what I'm looking most forward to, is to see, you know, what that leads me to and, you know, and see how it plays out.
I think that's really profound, that you want to be able to do things that you're passionate about as opposed to things that you have to do like most people. And in large part, that's how you set that up. Now, you and I have talked about your financial approach in the past, something that goes back to your time at New Mexico and your connection to my guy, Humble, who has done an amazing job for a lot of people. Now that you are retired, how do you go about approaching your finances and your business interests? What will your process be now?
I think, you know, my finances, I mean, for us, you know, we've kind of developed a lifestyle that you know, we can live off of and be good for a really, really long time. I think some of the companies that I'm invested in and things like that, I think, you know, I have a little more time to devote more time to that, you know, helping marketing processes and things like that to kind of, you know, help some of those companies. But I think, you know, it'll always be a team approach, you know. Obviously, my wife and I, Humble is a huge part of the team, just the people around us making good decisions, you know, looking at the pros and the cons and saying things that I want to get involved in, things that I want to represent, things that I don't, and just go from there. You know, I'm not rushing into anything right now. I'm honestly just enjoying the feeling, you know, of being in July and not having to train for a training camp, not having to prepare my brain to go out and play 16 games and be there every day at a high level. I've actually never experienced that for a really long time. You know, ever since, you know, high school, you're getting ready to play in August. You know, July, you're getting ready. Go to college, you're going through training right now, getting ready for the season. So to be at a point to where mentally I don't have that, you know, on my brain and on my shoulders, it's a great feeling. So I'm just kind of relaxing right now and seeing what happens.
Glover Quinn joining us. You know, I bet it feels great right now. I'm sure it feels great right now. I wonder, do you think it's going to feel different when the fall rolls around? And do you think there's going to be any part of you that is tempted to put the pads back on? Do you think you might get the itch to play again in the fall?
I don't think I will. And that was all part of the plan. You know, that's why I've done things that I've done, and I wanted to be there each and every day. People see the games, you know, that I didn't miss games. I mean, you can look at the injury reports. I very rarely even miss practice. You know, I wanted to play every day. I wanted to practice every day. I wanted to play in every game. I wanted to do everything that I could so that I didn't have any regrets, so that when I walked away, I didn't feel like, man, I wish I could get one of those years back. You know, you know what? I'm going to go play another year, just, you know, whatever. Like, I didn't want that. I wanted to give it everything that I had, put everything I could into it. And when it was time for me to walk away, I wanted to walk away in peace. And I feel extremely at peace with my decision. I don't feel like I know some guys who leave and they're just like, you know, they don't want to even watch football anymore because they feel like they still want to play and they didn't get the opportunity, or they said that they leave the game with regret, or they leave the game with anger because of whatever. I mean, I feel good. I feel like I can watch games. I can go to training camps. I feel good about it. I don't have any regrets. And, you know, I don't have any desire to go back out there and play. I feel like I've done my time and, you know, I was ready to move on.
You know what we're talking about leaving the game on your own terms. And I think every athlete that I've ever spoken to wants to leave the game on their own terms. And so few are able to do it. And I think one of the reasons you were is because of what we're talking about. I mean, you've had this process, the way you see things, the way you think about things. I mean, you're kind of a sage like that. You're very wise, years beyond your age. My question is, yeah, I mean, you talk like somebody who is much older, and some people never even get to this spot. Where did this thought process come from and this approach? Did somebody kind of point this out, show it to you, or did you come to this on your own?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I got great parents, wonderful parents, mom, dad, you know, great, great family. You know, I think just for me, I was chosen to be something different for my family, to, you know, bring a different approach. And, you know, I just took it in stride. I've very, you know, Coach Caldwell used to say all the time, any fool can learn from his own mistakes. It takes a very wise man to learn from the mistakes of others. And so thinking back over my life and just the things that, you know, I've went through, I was very good at seeing what other people did and not wanting to do that. Seeing the life that certain people lived and saying, okay, well, these are some of the decisions that they made, and this is how they have to live. Okay, I don't want to do that. I want to do it this way. But I've been like that my whole life. I was born that way, and just as I grew, you know, I wasn't afraid to step out. You know, I left Mississippi and went all the way to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to play college football because I told my mom I wanted to play Division I football. I wasn't afraid to leave. I wasn't afraid to take those steps and you know, try to do something different with my life than a lot of other people that I had seen growing up. And so I don't know. I just, over the years, the different experiences, just, you know, using my head to think about things, to make sure I'm trying to make the best decision, just kind of grew into it. I don't know. It just happened.
Glover Quinn joining us. I love the response, actually. You know, I had a number of stories that I was going to ask you about from teammates talking about what you meant to them and that they would not be where they are without you. Quandre Diggs was telling a story to ESPN last year that he might not even be a good safety in the league had he not been able to watch you and emulate you. Don Carey was telling stories, too. My point is, the NFL can be so cutthroat. It can be such a brutal business. A lot of guys do not want to show other guys the ropes or help them out, but that was something that was important to you. How come?
I don't know. That's just the way I've always been. I've always been that type of way, and I don't know. I never felt like I had to, you know, keep things from other people to continue to play. I felt like, you know, I was going to handle my business. I was going to do things the right way. I was going to play at a high level. But I also felt like it was important for me to bring my teammates and guys along with me, because at the end of the day, we all need each other to win and be successful. So I felt like my career and the things that I went through, I was able to reach a lot of different people because I came in as a corner, as a fourth rounder. I wasn't a first round draft pick. I wasn't an undrafted guy. So I was kind of in the middle. I was a corner, played 2 years as a corner and a nickel. Then I moved to safety, played the dime. So I had played basically every position in the secondary. So I knew how all those different things worked together. I knew how it felt. So, you know, for different guys, for Quandre, for Don Carey, for just all these different guys, I mean, I knew the things that they were dealing with. I knew the things they were feeling. I knew, you know, how to help them from the things that I had to learn, because when I first came in the league, you know, I didn't really have somebody to, like, take me under their wing. It was kind of like I had to figure out how to do things all on my own. My rookie year, you know, that was 2009 in Houston, Dante Robinson was a great player, but my rookie year, he was going through his contract dispute with the Texans. So he wasn't there for the off-season program. He wasn't there for training camp. You know, that was the year that, you know, the first game, I think he had to pay me Rick on the back of his shoes. So he was in that phase of his career where he was trying to get paid, and, you know, and I understood that. But he wasn't trying to take me as a young guy under his wing. So I watched his situation. I watched all those things. And, you know, the next year, he was gone. And we drafted Kareem Jackson as a first rounder, and I was the oldest corner on the team as a second year player. And you know, those guys were looking at me to try to lead the way, and I'm sitting here like, bro, I'm a fourth rounder trying to survive in the league.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to survive. But I had to help the younger guys, and you know, I just felt like, you know, that approach to, you know, just feeling like, hey, I don't have a problem helping people, telling people the things that I've learned and just going at it, you know, it helped me gain a lot of respect from my teammates, a lot of respect from my peers and things like that. And it helped me. It pushed me to continue to work hard to be the best that I could be so that I could continue to play, because I had to be able to show them some of the things that I was telling them. So it all worked out.
Glover Quinn joining us. You know, this is one of those things, before you go, I got to ask. And, you know, somebody in my position will ask this question of somebody who retired. It seems like a throwaway, but knowing you and the respect I have for you, I really am curious. What are you going to miss most about it once you walk away?
Oh, man. What am I going to miss most about it? I think, you know, everybody says, you know, the locker room. I think for me, the thing that I miss probably the most is, you know, playing the game. You know, I loved playing the game. I have great friends that I'm sure I'll continue to talk to, continue to be, you know, a part of their lives. You know, the locker room was great. Bunch of stories. But I think for me, just playing the game, you know, just running out of that tunnel, hearing fans cheer for you, hearing fans boo you. Like, I mean, those are great feelings, man. Great, great moments, things that, you know, I definitely cherish. But that's probably the biggest things for me, just actually Sundays and Monday nights and Thursdays, just actually playing the game. Probably be the biggest thing for me.
Listen, I would say to you, man, I'm going to miss these conversations, but whether you like it or not, I will continue to look for you even in retirement, so we'll have more of these conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you like it or not, Glover. Listen, congratulations, man. It was an amazing run. I really appreciate you. I've always appreciated the conversations you and I have had, and I will continue to appreciate the conversations we are still to have. Really nice to have you on, and congrats on a great, great career.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the time, man.
You got it. You too. Glover Quinn. That is such an interesting conversation because he's just so engaged. Man, so interesting, so thoughtful. I love that. If you want to respond to it, phone lines are open right now. Hit me. 1-800-636-8686. Really, really good interview day today. Glover Quinn, Andrew Checkitz, Rick Carlisle, Matthew Wolf. Excellent interview day today. And I still have a couple of segments left where we are wide open. I want to share my thoughts on our return to Denver, which feels absolutely great.